Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doctor.
Doctor who?
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, we couldn't not do that.
Yeah.
Come on. The show didn't even do it.
They didn't do it in the episode, but yeah. It's called Knock, Knock.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Doctor Who After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Zach Wilson, and it is time to talk about the episode Knock, Knock, episode 1004. I'm joined by a fantastic panel.
Yeah.
Got Dave Child.
We're fantastic. My name's Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild on all the internets or DaveChild.com because my name's Dave Child.
Adrian Snow is back.
Yes, I'm back. Sorry, yay. I was out of town. I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. And that's MsEdrianSnow. Sorry, I've never heard this theme before. I was so mesmerized by it.
Oh.
Which one is this?
Is this the current one?
No, it had Benedict Cumberbatch appeared in the title.
I think this
must be.
Oh, you know what? This is a fan.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is a fan-made thing where it's like Sherlock, I think.
This might have been the one, actually, looking at the we can see the YouTube video that's playing. I think this is the one that they used as the basis for the current theme, intro. Which, that is something that actually happened. A fan just made one with the clock as you rotate through. That was a fan creation that the BBC liked so much, they basically, like, bought it off the fan.
Oh, that's cool. I'm glad they bought it off of him.
Like, I don't know if money technically changed hands or if it was acknowledgement or other things, but, like, they did, like, use a fan's thing of, like, fix it up for television, but then, like, put it to use. And that's what
great.
We have now.
Ooh.
Lovely
little learning.
The chat is... Michelle was like, that was to our opening. That was so awkward.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome, internet. all right. Let's dig in. Just right off the top, what did you guys think of Knock Knock?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I really didn't like this episode. This was like the weakest episode of the season so far.
Wow, okay.
And there's a couple of things I liked about it, but I think I've been defending the last couple of episodes pretty strongly. I think, maybe not, but like this one was a little tough for me. And I think it's because I wanted a really scary episode, and I didn't quite get that, but we could talk about it in a bit.
All right, Adrian, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought this episode was okay. I'm ready to get to the juicy stuff. Like, by episode 4, I kind of want to know what the main thing we're driving towards is. I want, like, a little bit more on that.
I can agree with that.
So,
I have not been shy about it on this podcast. Like, I am... While there are good one-off episodes, I'm not a fan of too many of them, and we've had three in a row now.
Yeah.
And, like, we did get a big step closer to finding out what's in the vault. This week, and we'll get into this towards the back of the show, like, we are able to eliminate some of our theories from previous weeks.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm ready for a bigger, overarching, driving plot line. I actually liked this episode. I liked it, I think, more than last week's. But again, remember that I was not a huge fan of last week's episode.
Right.
The themes of this episode felt very much like Doctor Who. It also still managed to feel like unique in that, like, this was a companion episode, like a very companion heavy episode. I like that it did stay on Earth, like, in her life. It is that, like, Doctor Who sort of convenience of, wow, the person that's perfectly conveniently there for the Doctor to save happened to be the one that fell into this bad magical trap. But I feel like that just is a thing where, like, basically on this Earth, there's just alien monster stuff happening everywhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Doctor's companions are just like the only ones that get saved.
Yeah, it was like a little bit kind of like a Russell T. Davies type of feeling. It was nice to see that nobody remembered aliens because they erased that like what, almost a decade ago when the entire Earth was aware of aliens.
The Doctor Who goes so back and forth on like how aware the general public is about aliens to like within a season, it will change without justification.
That was the first thing that Stephen Moffat got rid of, because at the end of Russell T. Davies' like whole series or run, was everyone became aware of aliens. So I think the first thing he did with Matt Smith, I think, was go back and kind of erase that.
It wasn't the first thing, but it was a big part of his arc.
Yeah,
was that like they had the whole because they did the alternate timeline thing where, like, there's no stars.
Yeah.
Because and Amy then had it forgotten went back. About that wasn't invasion. Right away, but it was pretty. It was, like, one of the things that he did. Mm-hmm. So after that, I think the general public didn't know about aliens. It's just unit.
Right.
But, like, again, we've still had big, major things of aliens.
Oh, right.
Since then.
I just kind of always assume that it's kind of like how we think of aliens right now. We don't really believe they exist.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I always just assume it lands, because it is hard to keep track.
But you're right. Like, the episodes like The Day the Doctor Stayed.
Yeah.
I forget the exact title, but it was something close to that.
The Day of the Doctor? Was it just The Day of the Doctor?
The Day of the Doctor was the 50th.
Yeah. But wasn't that also
Zargon. The Zargons were very publicly acknowledged thing last season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That was not in The Day of the Doctor, but the Zargon invasion and inversion two-parter from last season.
Yeah.
The general public has opinions about aliens on Earth. Regardless.
Right.
Yeah.
What I did like about this episode was that they set up they're really strong with the theme of students and teacher.
Zygons.
Yeah.
My bad.
Zygons. Yeah. Of student and teacher, and so they're building off of student housing in this case, where the student is moving to, all the students are moving into like this one big shaky house. There's even a line that Bill says, which is just, it's an old creaky house that a bunch of students live in. This is what usually happens. There's nothing really creepy going on. And also it's building off of the premise of a haunted house, that it's like setting up this like haunted creaky house, and that's the stuff I was like, ooh, this is gonna be fun, we're gonna dive into it. Things I didn't like was we got introduced to five new characters
and you didn't care about any
rapid fire, and I have no idea who these new characters are or really a sense of who they are, and they got introduced through a montage that felt like it just felt like this episode kind of feels like it's one of the Doctor Who spinoff shows and not Doctor Who proper.
It did have a class sort of feeling about it.
Yeah, it felt like class, or it felt like Sarah Chronicles. It felt like
Sarah Jane.
Sarah Jane Chronicles.
But like, I didn't hate that about it, because we were entering into Bill's life, and this is a very different, she's a very different companion from everyone else, in that over her arc, she's not traveling with the Doctor. She's just living her life, and the Doctor is there.
Right.
Well, Claire kind of had that for a while as
occasionally,
well.
Occasionally, but, like, I think throughout, like, over the course of the season, we saw her traveling with him much more frequently.
But with Claire, we built up, and even with Rose, we built up, like, these additional characters that were kind of, we get to know, we see a family that we meet, and we see love interests that are back at home that we kind of meet and learn to know. These are just like a bunch of characters she doesn't even know.
Yeah.
And that's how we meet them, is like, and it's hard to.
She knows Shireen, but she doesn't know anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, you do improv as well, and you know that the worst thing you could do to start off a scene is have two people don't know each other. It's like, it's really helpful to have an established relationship, like, right away.
I mean, you can still start off a scene in improv with people not knowing each other, but it's a bigger payoff if in the middle you discover that they know each other.
Them getting to know each other has to, if you introduce up top that they don't know each other, them getting to know each other has to be a motivating force of whatever going to happen, because that is a big thing when
true.
Two people enter a situation together.
And that doesn't really happen in this episode. They're just kind of there.
Yeah, I got the sense that she knew
Shireen.
Shireen,
Shireen, yeah.
But I think that was the only one that she had seemed to have a previous relationship. One of the other dudes, I think it was Paul, mm-hmm. was the tall mm-hmm. dude who was like trying to flirt with her.
That was yeah. a weird thing. I didn't think need to happen.
It didn't need to necessarily at first. However, I did have respect for him when as soon as she like was like, I'm not into you, he just like immediately like backed off.
I thought it was a weird beat because she had to say, because I'm into women, and then it was that, oh, okay, well, I've never would have stood a chance, because it seemed like he was going to resist until she said that. And I was like, that right. wasn't really necessary. I think if she That's just fair. Said, I'm not interested, and he was like, oh, cool. okay.
Okay.
Right, like, I would have respected that more than
yeah.
having that second beat of him being like, oh, awesome.
The one thing about him... You're just gay. Like, it's like, the one thing is that one little rhythm was enough for me to know who that guy was.
And that was the thing. It's like, I got that guy's character.
Yeah. They did more with him than they did with everyone else.
And yeah. Like, who was Felicity? She really loved music. That's all I can tell about yeah. Felicity, is when they started playing music, she was like, yeah!
Oh, yeah, she man. Was like that quiet little meek girl that doesn't yeah. really want to talk, and then somebody put on some tune, she's like, all right, let's party!
Yeah.
I just feel like they've done better jobs in the past of developing those one-off characters. Even right. even when it's not... I mean, usually you get a two-parter. So when we get two-parters with characters that we know are going to die, that's nicer. Like,
right.
I'm trying to think of the one where... Okay, well, Silence in the Library, that was one where you kind of knew all these people were going to die by the yeah. end of it, but at least you got to spend two episodes with them, kind of getting a little bit more about them.
Yeah.
And they could have just had it be two people or three people, and they could have done more with that than having it be five additional
That's
people.
Fair. This sort of, like, we were talking about it a little bit off the air, this episode had the structure of a horror movie mm-hmm. in the pacing of when people get taken and mm-hmm. how they get taken and like the yeah. running. But it wasn't really scary. Yeah.
It wasn't scary. And I felt like it felt like it was trying to be a horror movie, but all we saw was doors closing and screaming. Mm-hmm. And the best part was when, Pavel, yeah. who's the DJ guy. Yeah, he gets stuck in the wall. Like, getting stuck in a wall is always a horrifying image for me. I still have nightmares of, oh, God, what was that show?
Jumanji?
No, Jumanji. there's,
that was The Floor, but...
There was yeah. a show in the early 90s, Punky Brewster, the Halloween episode. I know this is still getting nightmares
over... All right, I'm going to let you...
A kid getting stuck in the wall of a Punky Brewster thing, and it still wow. haunts me. So that is like, that was kind of, that scary. Was the scariest part. But it doesn't have a lot of suspense for when it happened or even leading up to it. It kind of, they walked in and it felt like he was stuck in the wall. I don't know. It just felt like it could have been scarier. We also had a scary looking monster with the daughter slash
mom.
I didn't think of her as scary.
Well, when we first saw her, I thought she was scary.
When the thing crawls out of her mouth, that was yeah. a little freaky.
But that was creepy, bugs? But like yeah. I wasn't ever scared of that character. It never felt threatening.
Mm-hmm. Right. But even the bugs were not scary to me. They were kind of cute. Yeah. They had like little glowy flashlights.
Yeah, they had little glowy mm-hmm.
On the front. It was like the
Tickle Boppers.
I thought the microbots from the Smile episode were a lot scarier because they were just a swarm.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because those things could kill you in a heartbeat.
Yeah. So I was anticipating a really scary episode and really suspenseful, and you did get the creepy landlord. The creepy landlord was
yeah.
fun.
What did you guys think of David Suchet as the landlord?
He was creepy. I don't always need that kind of. I wish that they had done like the Are You My Mommy with him and his mom. Right. So to kind of have that, because that was a creepy beat, like, throughout the
you
whole...
You wanted him to say, are you my mommy?
I wanted her to say, are you my daddy? And just, like, just right. make that full circle for me. But, no, I think it was something where I really... What I liked about that episode, and there was similar themes with that, with, like, the nanobites and everything, but that it was just kind of creepy, that it was just kind of unknown. And I didn't get that mm-hmm. moment to feel the unknown of the creature that was in the wall. They kind of like told you pretty quickly that it was these bugs, and then yeah. you learn pretty quickly that he's inverted the relationship so that she thinks that she's his daughter just because he's yeah. eight. And then it was the creepiest thing about it for him, about him to me is that the 70-year-old man gave up his life
to take care of his mom.
To take care of his wooden mom.
Yeah. I was like, mommy really? Issues are always kind of creepy.
Yeah. Look, it was a pseudo Norman Bates
situation.
Yeah, and they could have gone further with that, I felt like.
Yeah,
they
I think so too.
For me they in that an aspect.
Yeah, they could have leaned into it more. Yeah.
And they should have stayed dead.
Yeah, well,
that's one of the biggest things that I think, like, the big debates. And chat, I especially want to know what you guys think about this specific point. The last minute saving throw get all of the characters back in the I sort of knew it was coming based on the tone of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it didn't surprise me that they came back only because they killed everybody.
Right, but that tone was why I wasn't very happy with the episode, because it didn't feel like it was the type of episode where people were going to be killed. And I loved in the second episode, the fish one from yesterday, the third episode actually,
mm-hmm.
was that we see a kid get killed. We see a kid get killed and he never comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And that really heightens the stakes of the whole show. So to follow that up with another one where everyone gets saved with a real big Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, but so chat, do you think, would you have wanted everybody to die? Or are you happy with everybody living? That's the question.
I mean, the third episode just had bigger stakes. It dealt with racism, which is something that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get to talk about it. But I was very relieved to see the Doctor address, like, historic racism.
Yeah.
And not just kind of blow it over. Like, in Martha Jones, you see she has, like, one comment about it, and then Shakespeare's in love with her for the rest of the episode.
Right.
But the stakes of that were so much bigger. So when you come to this episode and... Yeah, you know, the mother-son dynamics are always something they like to play with, and they usually always make it sweet at the end, but they could have killed at least one of them. I mean, they were disintegrated. Literally, the bugs came over him, and then he disappeared.
Also, I didn't get a feeling that, like, they really wrap up the story. Like, at the end, the whole place gets disintegrated. Are the bugs dead? It doesn't look like it. Looks like the bugs are still around.
Yeah.
They just took apart the house. So now the house doesn't exist, but the bugs are probably still around, and they say, okay, bye. And then they leave, and it's one of those things where I'm like, this doesn't solve it. The same thing kind of happened at the end of Smile, where it's like, you're not quite solving the issue. Yeah. You're just kind of ending, you found a nice endpoint, and then you're leaving.
Yeah.
But the problem is still there.
Especially now, because you're not even like going that far away.
No. The bugs are still going to be a problem. They'll just move to the house next door.
Well, we'll see if those characters, if the five roommates return.
Yeah, I think that will also change going forward. That'll change your opinion of the episode, or at least of the characters going forward. Let's see what the chat said. Unless you have another point on that.
I had a point about the characters.
Let's see what the chat said about how they felt about them dying or living. Why would they only bring back Bill's roommates and not the all rest. The other people that were killed? I have to imagine there's a, like...
They were digested.
Yeah,
they could have at least brought back the 1997 folks, if that's the case.
Yeah, I would love to see them come back in tie-dye and bright neon colors.
They had the pictures.
That's horrifying, too, because they're like, what's my life now?
Exactly, and they had all the pictures of the 1997 folks, so they definitely could have brought them back.
Yeah. Michelle A., this one time, everybody lives.
Yeah.
I appreciate the quote.
Yes.
Chloe Butler says, I do not mind. Ken from Chicago says, Doctor Who is a family show in England, which is a fair point to not murder
most of the people in the episode.
But it's one person as opposed to all the characters.
But it's Except also a child.
Also in the Smile episode, that was complete genocide. They never came back.
Kristen says, I'm not sure. Florence says, I don't mind them living. Jacob says, morbidly, yes.
So
there's a vote for death.
I do want to...
Ryan Mattelson says, I had no issue with it. Wait, who was it that said this? Ken says, Zach, don't be so bloodthirsty.
I think it's me that's being the bloodthirstiest.
Katie, and lastly, we'll say... well, there's a couple more votes for happy, but Katie, last comment. Katie says, I think either way, there needed to just be more. Live or die, either... would have felt abrupt.
Yeah. Here's another thing they were going to put into development of one of the characters that I found out they actually cut from the script and from the show, is Harry of the group was going to be the grandson of Harry Sullivan, a former companion of the Doctor during the Tom Baker years.
Oh.
But they decided that people aren't really going to know who Harry Sullivan is, current viewers, so they decided to cut it out. But that would have made it be like, okay, he's part of the lineage, which is an interesting thing to do if you're setting up all these lineage stuff.
Y'all make fun of me, and then she calls him Granddad. I'm like, mm-hmm, they're setting stuff up.
He does keep calling him Granddad.
Crazy.
Yeah. Leaning into that crazy
theory. We haven't seen who her dad is. We've only seen the mom.
Right. Also, I think it was kind of bad at this episode, too, because the last one ended with the vault, the knocking on the vault, and then this one's called Knock Knock, so you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be about the vault. Yeah. And then it isn't. And then I also found out it was originally called The Haunted Hub, was the initial name of this, and they changed it to Knock Knock to even be more... To be more like us thinking that they're going to keep setting up the vault.
You know, this would have been a good episode 7. Like,
you need a breather?
Yeah. Like, because we're going to have another one-off episode next week. And so that's 4 in a row.
I don't mind. Because
it's a spaceship episode next week.
Yeah.
So to have had a little bit more talk about the vault, or a little bit more talk about Bill and what's going on with Bill, just because we touch on the Doctor going back and taking pictures of her mom in the first episode, and then we don't ever address it again, except for the one picture she puts up of her mom this episode. That would have been nice, because I recall... what was the elevator or the child where... Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Through the...
It was like the child... he would go into...
Fireplace?
The little dollhouse. And the dollhouse became real.
Oh, I know.
That was like an episode 7. And I remember really enjoying that episode, because up until that point...
This is the 11th Doctor with Amy and Rory.
We've been dealing so much with like their storyline, so to have that breather was nice. And it makes me a little nervous that we're getting front loaded with so many one off episodes that the back end's going to be so much about the Doctor,
right?
And then I won't get a breather.
That's true. And I personally like all the one up.
And some people in the chat, like Ken, says he prefers one off episodes. Yeah.
I do too, if they're done really well, and they could be the scariest ones. Like I kept thinking of the Minotaur one. From like,
it was a great episode.
That was a great episode and scary. And
the,
it had
one-off episodes can be individually the most memorable for sure.
Uh-huh.
But serialized Doctor Who for me is Doctor Who at its best.
Yeah,
right.
That's the key difference. Is that like, yes, I remember Blink really well. I remember the ghost, the library episode very well, but. I remember everything about the Silence arc from seasons 5 and 6.
Yeah. Right.
And I will rewatch those like seasons in their entirety because of that arc. And that's what I want to get more of. Yeah. And so far we haven't gotten anything but those little vignettes of the vault.
Yeah.
So
that's
we'll
my
see.
Only thing. If
God Complex, that like, was the Minotaur.
The Minotaur.
Right.
Season 7 started off with all one-off episodes. Like, the first episode was about
the doll episode? Whatever.
Rory and Amy's divorce, and they reconnect. And then 2, 3, and 4 was all one-offs. And I remember being like, you gotta give me episode 5. I need a break from these one-offs, because I'm not gonna remember any of these. So... I think it just has to be a really good balance. Like, if you can tie one-offs into the series, or if you can go back and forth, that's easier for me than simply... Even if it were all serialized. Like, when we started last season... Oh, my God, that was 2 years ago. And it was all about the Daleks. And then we never revisited the Daleks. I was kind of like, oh, well...
Yeah.
You can give me more.
All right, chat. I know Silence in the Library was a two-parter.
Yeah.
Calm down. It's still a standalone.
It was.
Well, isn't because
Well, but it was originally supposed to be a standalone. And then when Moffat took over, he decided to continue the story of Riverstone.
You had to, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was always designed.
He didn't have to.
Maybe not the best example. Fine. Fine, well, panel. Fine, chat. I'm agreeing with you.
All right, like, well, yeah.
Let's go back to this episode, though, because basically we just the chat is just like calling us out on all of the titles that we're missing. Where we're just like talking about, we're not like naming episodes. Oh, we're just talking about what happened.
Yeah, my brain is.
It's fair. there's way too many episodes to know.
It's a decade of Doctor Who.
What did you guys think of specifically just the Doctor in Knock Knock?
I kind of, there's some good Doctor moments. I really like the moment when he explains being a Time Lord, and I still like that where he's still teaching her exactly who he is. I still like those moments, even though they might be a little tired for long Doctor Who fans. It's still nice to see. Mm-hmm. And I especially found it interesting when she asked about regenerating, and he felt very uncomfortable, and he felt like he didn't want to talk about it, which makes me feel like he kind of knows what's on the horizon, which might actually play into maybe what's in the vault or something.
That the second, that like his next regeneration is going to be somehow...
I think he just knows he's going to regenerate soon.
Mm.
Not necessarily if it's going to be dangerous or not. It just, whenever regeneration is kind of on the horizon,
it the seems doctor, like he knows.
Yeah, the doctor often feels kind of sad about it.
He is, this doctor is mentally, at the very least, if not physically, extremely old because of the like pocket dimension loop thing that's happening. So, you're right. He probably knows that like a regeneration is coming, especially if it's connected at all to his to this doctor's return to the 50th to the day of the Doctor Time War big battle. Because we know that like we haven't seen.
That could happen off screen.
We haven't seen 12, who I say for lack of a better number. We haven't seen 12 return to. God, it's so hard because he comes in and says all 13. Oh, my brain. We haven't seen him return to that moment when he comes in and yells, no, all 13. But we know that he has to.
Yeah.
Eventually. Right. And the rumor is we're going to get that this season. But.
I mean, I love the relationship he has with Bill, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, does Peter Capaldi like Pearl Mackey more than he liked?
Is he like everybody else? And he's like, oh, Bill's like way more fun.
But even
maybe
just,
we shouldn't have kept Clara around so long.
I don't think
she was that bad.
She overstayed
her welcome.
The one-off looks he gives to Bill. Just in, like, response. Or they just have a better chemistry. Like, you feel this like is, he actually has an affection for her.
This is Peter Capaldi's Doctor is now shining through. Yes. Because he's not connected to a single companion any longer. He is standing on his own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's doing a fantastic job while he's doing it. The moment where she's, like, trying... Like, when she's trying to get him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see in his eyes that, like, he just wants to stay.
Mm-hmm.
He knows something's up. Up, and he wants to investigate it so badly.
Yeah.
It is the only... And he's like... She's like, no, go. Go, doctor. Bad doctor. And he's like, but there's something weird.
But the wind.
I wanted to sonic it and like do a thing.
Yeah.
Come on.
He feels very comfortable in his skin now, which is great to see. Also, I have to say, I think his sonic screwdriver might make the best torch out of all of them. Because it has such like a big light bulb on the top. I realized that this episode, I feel like in a competition of which one's the best flashlight in a dark situation, his might win.
Jeez, though. It took them 2 years to give him a sonic screwdriver. So,
at work, somebody has the Capaldi's screwdriver. And it looks awesome. And like the toy version of it looks awesome.
Yeah, because it really
still,
lights
if
up.
I was going to buy one to have, I'm still going Smith.
Mm.
But... The quality one looks awesome.
I would maybe do Tennant.
I'm doing Tennant.
I might do Tennant.
Yeah.
Right. We all have our doctors.
To each his own. I just like the claw effect.
The
like
claw?
When it shoots out and it like has like the four thing.
Yeah,
that is kind of cool.
It's just like, there's something about that. I'm just like, that looks cool.
Yeah. It's the action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Capaldi's doesn't extend.
No, it's pretty big, though.
Yeah.
It's big and it's
almost
bright.
Almost feels like a, never mind.
Oh, the initial drawings of the Capaldi one, were the most phallic things ever. Yeah. Like, disturbingly. Right. So, like, you shouldn't have released that, BBC.
Just putting it out phallic. There. What are you trying to say about
in
the doctor?
Practice, like, the actual device looks totally normal.
Yeah.
It was the right. drawings that were
they're
like...
Are you compensating, doctor? No.
It's like, I think they just...
They made that joke. When 10 and 11 met, they were like...
Oh, when, right. Because,
like, he takes out his finger, it's like... Oh, somebody compensating for something. anyway, yeah.
Yeah, he just feels so comfortable. And it's. He also had that moment that where he's like casually mentions he stepped in for Quincy Jones's bassist.
Yeah. That's such a random, delightful moment.
Well,
I was like, yeah.
I forgot what creature okay. he said. He said Quincy Jones' bassist was some kind of alien.
Oh yeah,
title. Yeah.
That I didn't recognize the type, but
and
like,
he didn't know how cool. to play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But even worse, he didn't know how to play the bass.
I also like him naming the dryads, just like they're the dryads, and they're like, why are you calling them that? Because I can't call them lice.
Yeah,
and I just like that he's just he. That's how he names stuff. It's just the first thing that comes to his head. Dryad, that works. Done.
I wasn't sure if he was lying in that moment. I was like, are you just making this up because you don't want to talk about aliens right now? Or
right, it could be.
I think legitimately he just like
made it up.
Yeah. Well, that and he did like two seasons ago. Was it two seasons ago? He made a big deal of naming the two dimension creatures.
Oh right.
Oh,
jeez.
The flat ones, yeah.
Oh,
the graffiti no. one.
They're going to get on us about this.
Well, they'll get
you
us.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Stall for a second.
So,
I'm curious about if we're building a Bill's
the
mom.
I name you the Boneless.
Oh, there we go.
Cool.
That was such a simple name.
Yeah. I need chat for that one.
Seems the obvious answer. Yeah. I am curious that they're building up Bill's mom. Like a lot.
They are.
So
I wonder if it's just like, but they did the same thing to Clara's parents.
Yeah, and also this was a mommy episode. So this was, it ended up being a mommy episode. So talking about her connection to her mom is a nice little like build to what's yeah. gonna, foreshadowing to the relationship.
I still think they're related in some way because Bill has no other people. And usually when a companion has no other people, they have some type of strong connection to the doctor.
Yeah.
If it's Clara, it's that she's the one who goes back in time and saves the doctor, even though I wasn't crazy about that. But, like there's always some type of, like, stronger connection to it. Because we did hear a little about her parents, but it wasn't like
yeah.
we really got to know her parents. Like, we got to know Rose's parents, you know?
The dad is suspiciously absent.
Amy, yeah.
Of all the pictures. But it would kind of... Feel
but she's
real
also
weird,
She wasn't she adopted?
Was she adopted?
She ended up being a foster kid. Because we
I
see
thought
we
she was
her.
Just a foster kid.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe.
That's my understanding of it. I don't know who, I'm trying to remember who that woman was that she was speaking to.
It was her
to.
Foster mom.
Yeah, okay.
So she didn't know her parents.
Oh, yeah. Yet. No, no, no.
Right.
They do establish that she didn't know her parents.
Right. She just has the pictures because of
the
doctor.
So we've seen parents have a big role. I mean, like, we also had Donna's father.
Right.
Yeah, but she had no prior. It didn't end up being like some big connection between her and the doctor.
Yes. Right. But the doctor has, at least, at the very least, met her mother.
That's why it's a little, it's going to be a little weird if he turns out to be her dad. Because it's like, oh, I'll go take pictures of your mom. Oops, I created.
No, I'm pretty sure like, that's not what happened.
Yeah, taking pictures of the mom, then they Time Lord love.
My brain just exploded. Nardole. He says something about not getting involved in her life that I thought was just, I don't know, they're just putting stuff down. I'm like, I'm kind of picking up what you're putting
down. I can't wait till this happens and you get to be so victorious. It's going to be great.
And I'm going
to
glow.
Well, the chat, Tyler C. Is like, Bill called the doctor grandfather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I.e. Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And we did see Susan in the pilot for this season, in the first episode of the season. And again, I don't think that was an accident.
No.
I feel like there's no way that Susan's
picture and River
being there, we are doing a ton of stuff with the school, the Coal Hill School, where she was and where Ian is still the superintendant.
Playing devil's advocate, though, I feel like they could just be setting that up so to mirror that relationship rather than have it actually be a plot point. It's kind of more of a
fine thematic relationship. Spoil my dreams.
I mean, maybe.
Well, there was a picture of River and there was a picture of Susan.
Yeah, but he's...
And it's kind of implied way back in the day when River first admits to who she really is, that there is a connection between her and the baby carriage. Mm. Not just in that she was ever put in it, but that they have a connection about the baby carriage. Like,
well, it was his.
It was his, but yeah. There was also, like, I always read that scene as, like, this is something that's between them. And the type of excitement he showed for it was, like, almost as if she is not only his wife, but, like, the mother of his children.
Right.
I mean, they had 24 years together.
They did, and he does have grandchildren.
And he does have grandchildren.
But the first doctor would have to know who his, like, daughter or child or son was that then gave birth to Susan, no?
Yeah. Remember when they're...
Like, you wouldn't just, like, travel around being like, well, I got this Mr. granddaughter from somewhere.
Remember when the doctor had a daughter, and then like... the doctor just married her in real life, and then Tennant just married her?
The clone you're talking about from the Tennant years, and they've like, actively said that they're never going to address that.
Yeah. Sure.
I think she might have appeared in an audiobook, but they've, like, said the show will never address that.
Sure. But that's exactly what you're talking about.
And she's also the daughter of a doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, it could, you know, there's so many paradoxes. And it could be a situation where, I don't know, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean,
24 years also is a suspicious amount of time to kind of spend in one night. And it feels like how old is, I'm leaning towards you, because, like, how old is Bill? Is she 24? Is she 23?
I think Bill's supposed 22? To be early 20s.
Yeah, so...
Not but in college. College age.
She would have been, like, raised, I guess, by them if she spent all of that time with them.
She was foster.
Was foster.
Let's talk about the vault.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So this is where we are now with the vault. So we go down there. The doctor brings Mexican down. To like, I guess he has some for Nardole and some
Mexican
for
food.
Who? Yes, Mexican food. And some for whoever or whatever is in the vault. I guess to whoever, because we know that it's a person or a creature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's still even a creature is a person. We're very respectful on the Doctor Who
after show.
Sentient
being.
Yes, some kind of sentient, some kind of sentient being that he gave a piano to. I feel like we are all but confirmed it's a master. And we are really just trying to figure out which one or which ones.
Yeah. Especially the, hey, I want to tell you a spooky story. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they say, oh, a bunch of people got, innocent people got eaten.
Yeah.
That's where it feels like it's very mastery. It.
Yeah.
Because it's an exciting...
Who else could he possibly be talking to?
Or is that too obvious?
That's the thing, is it feels too obvious.
Yeah.
Unless the surprise was supposed to be John Sim and it just leaked.
That no, the surprise they is that it.
It's not...
Like, they well, put they, it in their trailer.
I think it might... Was it in the trailer?
Yeah,
it was in
John the trailer. Sim. You could see John Sim, like, turning to the camera.
The last shot
in the
of the trailer is John Sim.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I missed that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just knew the... I just saw the announcement.
Because I don't think anyone knew until... All the news I saw about it was about it being from the trailer. And, like, and everyone's talking about the last shot of the trailer is John
Sim. Well, then you're... Some people are saying the Valyard, but I don't think that's where they're going with this.
Yeah.
It has to tie back to the Time War. If that's what they're going with, then
it's a Time Lord sealed door.
Yeah,
so it has to
be
connect
like some type of
to the Time Lords in one way or another.
Yeah.
So that the only creatures that would need a Time Lord like seal on a door like that
Dalek.
Would be a Time Lord or a Dalek.
Yeah.
I don't think a Dalek is playing a piano.
Yeah, a Dalek just doesn't have the digits for it.
Yeah.
Might, if it just like zooms in on like a couple keys with its plunger, might be able to play like Hot Cross Buns or something. Maybe there's a hole in the bucket, which, fun fact, the only song I know how to play on the piano.
I thought you meant that's how its little tentacles were coming out.
No,
and you were calling the Dalek armor the bucket. So the hole in the bucket was just the
I have now forever rewritten. Chad, if somebody wants to write alternate lyrics, parody version of the whole, there's a hole in the bucket about Daleks. Dude, Daleks, I will not fight you on it.
There's a hole in the bucket, dear Dalek.
All right,
perfect.
God damn it.
Oh, man. Now we're going to have to pay for that, the rights to that song.
Nah.
No, it's
probably old enough.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it has to be Missy. And this is where he's basically landed. It's like, I can't control you. I can't stop you. So I'm just going to lock you up.
But he said, I'm a prisoner too. So this is a punishment for both of them.
Well, he's a prisoner because he made an oath that he wouldn't leave the vault.
Because Missy has reigned no matter... Like, every time Missy's out there, she has killed lots
When's the
of
last
people.
Time we saw Missy?
Was the...
Cyberman,
right? Yeah.
No. Incident. We've seen her since. We saw her last season.
Did we?
Briefly. I thought.
Did we? I thought the last...
In the opening with the... where she stops the airplanes and everything.
Yeah.
That was the top of last season.
With the Daleks. She aided him and Claire.
Yeah.
Clara.
But she got captured. I honestly don't remember.
She just kind of fell off. I never saw her again. Because that was something that's why I got really frustrated with those episodes. Because I was like, oh, well, what happened? Yeah. Like, that's just done.
She's off screen, I think. Well, she had like... Because that was after the fake death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Daleks on Skara, the chat's helping us out.
So, she's due for a comeback, and maybe she just got captured and is in the vault.
Yeah, she could have gotten captured. The Time Lords could have captured her. Mm-hmm. Again, this could be John Simmaster in there, who was imprisoned. Although John Simmaster has to eventually turn into Missy.
Yeah, regenerate. Right.
That's his fate, so
unless,
I don't know
unless
how
they're
that
doing
would work.
The backwards regeneration thing. Which is, I was thinking they were maybe going to do.
Has there reverse? Been, other than the 50th, has there been any established canon to justify that?
I don't, I'm only saying that because when we do see in the trailer, John Sim, he's in front of what looks like a regeneration kind of glow. So he has kind of this golden glow, right? Right?
Am I wrong? Well, it's just like a backlight. I think.
Okay.
But if that's the case, like it could just be that we're going to see the birth of Missy.
Right.
The Doctor has run into a version of himself in the 50th that was an older version.
Yeah.
It was implied that it was an older version of the Doctor who decided to take an old face again.
Yeah.
So I don't know if.
It's played by Tom Baker.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's something they're going to do with Missy. But they made it pretty clear that the two masters would meet face-to-face. So this is not something of a regeneration. It's something of timelines crossing.
Yeah. So, which the master would definitely do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially the
John Simmons maybe master. It's that the Doctor... Oh, maybe it's just the fact is the Doctor knows... That the John Sim master is out there, released out in the world, because the time because Gallifrey popped back into the universe, which puts him back in this universe, and he is mortally afraid of the potential destruction if there were two masters working together.
So right. When does
so
he become...
locks Missy away because he can capture her.
Oh, time paradox. I'm like, so when does he become Missy?
He knows that he will eventually become Missy, but he still can lock Missy away in the meantime.
Yeah, we also don't necessarily know. I mean, never mind. It's 2017. Never mind.
All right, let's move into let's move into predictions territory.
After Buzz TV predictions.
Prediction is that it's Missy behind the vault door.
I still think it might be neat if it's like the Doctor or something, or a form of the Doctor, because I feel
that
like,
would be the Valyard.
Yeah, because I'm not very sure. I don't know very much about the Valyard. So that's
it's like the
older Doctor Who stuff that I can look up.
Yeah.
But I think it would be nice if it wasn't the Master, whatever it is, because they keep building up, or Missy, because they keep, it just seems like the obvious choice. I'll be happy if it is, but I would be kind of happier if they surprise us.
Which I hope the Valyard, just reading right off of TARDIS.wikia.
Sure,
go ahead. Because I didn't want to get it wrong. Mm-hmm. The Valyard was the distillation of all that was evil in the Doctor, and a composite of his every dark thought created by the Time Lords using black operation technology.
Cool. So did the Valyard look like the current Doctor when the Valyard came out? Or was it like a...
No, it was played... the Valyard was played by Michael Jaston, the actor, in his initial appearance.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we not... I don't want to do that. I'm already dealing with that on The Flash. Right. I'm like, I don't need another evil version of anyone.
Yeah. I mean, that's a sci-fi trope. That's like put a goatee on them.
The implication with the Valyard is that he is a regeneration of the Doctor that came somewhere between 12 and the final. The wording.
So
thank you to G1X Rider for that one. So that's the phrasing. So like everyone has always assumed that would mean that it would have to come between 12 and 13, but we know that that's not the case because 12 and 13 was technically 10 and Smith, depending on your counting, Smith and Capaldi.
Wait, what?
The War Doctor really messed up the numbering.
All right,
can we just count him as a number?
And cheating and using two.
Can we just count the War Doctor as a number? And so
no, because everyone refers to Capaldi as 12. Like marketing, everything about 13. Them said right. calls him the 12th Doctor, and that's why it's and so you can't. This is why it's Moffat made this a mess forever. It's a Moffat. Mess forever.
Yeah, it's always going to have an asterisk.
Yeah, it is forever. The number of Doctor is forever confusing because of the War.
Then
Doctor.
I would just to be different. I would like to say it's the Valyard in there because it would be kind of cool if he's trying to hold off his evil self from coming out. Because he knows that's what's coming up next. Somehow, I don't know how
that quite
works.
Does fit with him being happy with a lot of death.
Yeah.
Also fits with the Master, but...
Yeah, but if it's... It could be something that the Master will come and let the Valyard out, because the Master, and especially Missy, who might want to hook up with the Valyard, is kind of comes to... So that they can be kind of an evil duo.
It'll be interesting. It would also be very interesting if John Sim was playing... The Valyard.
Interesting.
That the Doctor's darkest thoughts
love that.
Have manifested as the Master.
I know they're not going to have Johnson for long.
And with that creepy thought.
I'm not done.
Oh, yeah.
Predict.
Well, I think we're going to get more about. I just really want to know what's up with Bill. So if we can not have this. If we could just get straight to that. I think who's going to the vault? It's either. It has to be a Master. It's a Time Lord. I'm to put that out. It's a Time Lord. And then with Bill, I hope it's kind of... I hope there's an explanation for why the Doctor felt compelled to go back and take pictures. Not just to be kind or anything like that, but there was a reason why he went back and did that. Or did he not just go back and do that? Did he live there? So, and I also want to know more about the 70 years that he's been on Earth, what was going on in that time.
Yeah.
And in those 70 years, could he have been with Bill?
Also, is Bill only going to be in this season?
That's the rumor.
Okay, if that's
nothing
the case,
is official yet.
I hope she has an arc. I hope she has a beginning, middle, and end to
that. I cannot stand the Bill theme. I don't like that. It's too sweet.
I didn't notice that, really.
Well, with that, we got to get out of here. The last thing I'll say is that with the Bill thing, it is just a rumor, but it sounds like they knew... If it is going to be her end, it sounds like they knew that going in,
right?
Mm-hmm. So that like they're not just going to leave us on a weird cliffhanger.
Cool.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's Doctor Who After Show. Thank you so much for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV. I've been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson. Be sure to tune in right after this, where I'm going to be talking about The Leftovers. My brain on that show. My brain.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm
very exciting. It's like it's the last season, and it's crazy.
I know.
Check out Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Tuesday nights. Penultimate episode for season 4 this Tuesday, and the finale next week.
Yeah. And I'm MR Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child on Twitter and DaveChild.com. If you want another crazy show that's only just beginning, I'm on American Gods. Tonight at 11, And also check me out on Fargo on Thursday and iZombie for some good CW fun on Tuesday.
Hi, I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. I'm also on The Handmaid's Tale on Thursdays and then the Unproduced Table Read on Fridays for Popcorn Talk.
All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.